Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It is Monday night, and welcome to The Legal Show. My name is Bennett Pomerantz. I am one of your hosts, and the other hostess is the most beautiful lady in the world. I'm allowed to say that. Her husband won't hit me for saying that she's a beautiful lady.
Well, God bless you, Bennett. You
are a beautiful lady. You've always been a beautiful lady. I could say it, and your husband, I hope, won't hit me too hard.
I doubt seriously that would ever occur.
Oh, good, because he's a beautiful person inside, but he's, you know, he's like me, and we're ugly pussies, but we get away with it. Sarah Abram, good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Bennett. How are you?
I'm alive and maybe even kicking. So
well,
how are you
I'm
feeling?
Alive
Every,
and the baby
by
is
the
sick,
way,
so.
I will tell you one thing before I forget. Everybody, the first thing on their mind is, how's Sarah doing? Is the baby here yet?
Well, as I just said, I am alive and the baby is kicking. We just came back from two doctor's appointments today, and he's doing just wonderful. He's still hanging out. He likes swimming around in mom's belly, so he's going to hang out in there for a little while longer.
Did he get the footballs I sent him?
He should, because he's definitely big on the kicking.
Oh, good. Then he's as long as he's practicing, because the Redskins need a new kicker.
Okay.
All kidding aside, you have a statement you want to tell our audience before we begin our tribunal here. No.
I do. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sarah Abraham, and I'm an attorney licensed to practice in the state of Georgia. And our wonderful co-host, Bennett Pomerantz, is a book author and critic and jack of all trades in the literary world. But being that as it may, neither one of us are here in the capacity of an attorney, and we are not here to offer legal advice. And so if you have anything that's going on in your life that you think may require an attorney, then I would like to recommend that you consult an attorney, a competent attorney, hopefully, in your own jurisdiction about the specific facts of your case. If nothing that you do in regards to contacting us, whether it be calling into the radio show or sending a message or a carrier pin or a smoke signal or anything else, constitutes an attorney-client relationship.
Thank you. I like that. I like that. Because I will tell you something. I've gotten two people that's been on Facebook that have messaged me. It's like, you're an attorney? No. I know the law? Yes. Am I a bar certified? No. But you do the legal show.
Bennett definitely does not want that responsibility, and I don't blame him.
But it's like, you do the legal show. Yes, I do. Well, you should know something about the law. I know a lot of things. Get yourself a good attorney.
That's right. Well, you do know something about the law. You're just not an attorney. You don't have to be an attorney to know something about the law. You do have to be an attorney to render legal advice. True story.
Well, let's get into the case we are doing this evening, because I've gotten a couple of emails about that, a couple IM about that, so it's very, very interesting.
Well, I have to admit that this case was quite intriguing to me whenever you brought it to me, Bennett. There is a 22-year-old gentleman outside of New York, and he created a website and ran the website, and the name of the website was skiplagged.com. His name is, and I'm going to butcher it, and I apologize in advance to the young man, Arkatur Zaman. And he was running
this
website.
You did better than I am at pronouncing it.
Okay, because I know about people butchering names. I mean, you would be surprised how people, abuse Abraham all the time. But this young gentleman created the website called skiplagged.com, and what it was a website to help people book airfares, and his whole entire concept was based around something that some travel agents have been doing for years, which is a little shady and against some contractual policies. We'll get to that in a second, where, say, you're flying from Cincinnati and you want to go to Houston. Well, Cincinnati to Houston may cost, let's say, for example, $300-$400. But Cincinnati to Phoenix via Houston costs $200. So what his website would do was point out these loopholes in the airline fare industry. And what people were doing was booking these flights, and whenever they got to their layovers, they would just disembark and not, you know, re-embark on the flights. And both United Airlines, based out of Chicago, Orbitz.com, based out of Chicago, were quite missed at this, quite, and they decided to sue him under all sorts of civil statutes, including breach of user agreements, interference in contractual, in the business of conducting contractual obligations, and a few other similar civil remedies that they're seeking, and they're seeking money in the realm of six figures. I've gotten a couple of different figures. I think $700,000 was the most that I saw at one point. And his defense is, I didn't make any money off of this. This is basically how the airlines work. It's not his fault that he basically put it out, take advantage of. And as of my last reading of the news, I don't believe he has filed his answer in the suit yet. But he was able to go on a couple of websites, give a couple of interviews. But his stance is basically that this is not his fault. He just brought to, you know, everybody who came to his website the opportunity to purchase these airfares. And if people took advantage of that, fine. And if not, then that's okay too. And so what Orbitz and United is saying is that, no, you're prohibiting us from being able to fulfill our obligations contractually. It's causing problems with the contracts that we have, like with Orbitz, the contracts that we have with the airlines, because, as I said before, some travel agencies have been doing this for years, but it's kind of sneaky and they're really not supposed to be doing that. The lawsuit
yeah, but that's where you have three flights going to a place, correct?
I'm sorry, say again?
That's where you're going to, you know, it's like instead of going to X and Y destinations, excuse me, you go to X destination to Q destination to Y destination. That's two flights or three flights, but it saves you $100.
No, the travel agencies have been booking people in flights like this and have been telling them to disembark in their layover for years. It's just that it was sort of kept hush-hush. It was not highly encouraged, and people were doing it anyway, but this guy kind of brought it to the forefront, shined a light on it, and said, hey, you know what? You can do this. And so that's why they're upset at him over this. The lawsuit actually revealed that Orbitz itself isn't really worried about getting undercut by a competitor and losing a few flight bookings, but what they're fearing is getting reprimanded or otherwise sued by airlines for violating their mutual contracts. That's one of their, they're saying that as a result of Mr. Zaman's conduct, Orbitz Worldwide has suffered and will continue to suffer damage, including but not limited to remedies available to commercial airlines, the agency agreements, and the cost of investigating his wrongful conduct. So they're trying to...
I hate to say it. Orbitz always says they're the cheapest air flights in town. So, I mean, they should almost back this guy because, you know, they have a statement that they are the cheapest guys in town. So, I mean, where I think it faults it is this guy is undercutting Orbitz. And what upsets me is, I mean, come on. You're saying you're the cheapest guy in town, but this guy is proving you, you know, that you can get cheaper. And Orbitz is like, no. We're hurting our profit. Am I correct in my assumption?
Excuse me. What they're saying is that he's undercutting their profits, but their bigger legal argument is that he is undercutting their agreements with the airlines. Because remember, Orbitz is just a glorified travel agency. And so what he's saying is by this guy pointing this out, and see, what would go on is that he would go to Skiplag, and Skiplag would check Orbitz and the major airlines' websites, they would point out to you the best way to do this. And sometimes people end up through Orbitz and then disembarking from these flights during your layovers and receiving the financial benefit from it. So that's how Orbitz is allegedly harmed, is that they were using his philosophy, but using their site to actually book the flights. And that's why they're upset about it. Well, that's why Orbitz is upset about it. United has an entirely different story. They're saying, they're arguing that Skip Lag's hidden city, it's called a hidden city practice, could lead to the airline to permanently lose customers when flights erroneously show that they are full, but actually have seats available that could be sold on the last leg of the flight because passengers got off during the layover. So that's their argument. They're saying, well, you know, the flight from Cincinnati.
Let me understand this. So, we're going from, say, New York to Chicago. I know you love Chicago. I could say
I
this.
Do.
She likes Chicago. I like Capone's there myself. But you go to New York to Chicago. Now, they're stopping in Detroit for some reason. I get off at Detroit. I mean, how long a layover can you have in Detroit before you have to get back on the plane?
It doesn't matter. As I was using in my example, and this is an example that I took directly from the website that was discussing the lawsuit, say we're going from Cincinnati to Houston to Phoenix, and whenever the layover occurs, well, the layover would have to be long enough for people to actually get off the airplane. It couldn't be the kind of layover where you just touch down and then immediately get back into the air, which most layovers aren't. Because with layovers, as you well know, as an experienced traveler, you know, you have to change flights. You have to, you know, walk halfway across the airport and all this. And so what they're saying is once you get off the plane, don't get back on another one. And United's argument is we're losing business when people do this because they're saying that the leg from Houston to Cincinnati, I'm sorry, from Houston to Phoenix is actually booked when it really isn't, because these people are booking these flights with two legs and they only have any intention of using the first leg. Now, I have to admit, from a legal perspective, I can definitely see where that argument may hold water, but the problem is that, you know, whenever you let somebody off of an airplane, you can't force them to get back on the next airplane. Now, this young man has now pointed out to a massive amount of people that they can do this. Yeah, does that mean that it's actionable? Maybe, maybe not. And I guess the court in which they filed it will get to decide that, and that happens to be in the U.S. District Court, the Northern District of Illinois. So it's in federal court in Illinois, where Chicago is located.
Okay, have they, I don't know if you've read it, because I wasn't sure. They've told me two things. They said they've stopped this, so that way nobody can do this anymore. And another
yes,
person
right
said
now,
they
the website
stopped
is not operable. Yeah.
No,
right
I'm just saying,
website,
stop. Yeah. That you could still get off on the plane and still take that layover day. If I wanted a 24-hour layover in Phoenix or Cincinnati or whatever, I could take that day and see Cincinnati for all I care. Well, look, sign,
yeah.
See if WKRP is really there in Cincinnati.
Then
get back on and go to Phoenix.
That practice hasn't stopped. The airlines have not stopped from booking flights that have layovers from, you know, 30 minutes to 30 hours. They haven't stopped that. What has stopped is Skip Lag as a website cease and desist business until the airline is the lawsuit is over for the airlines. Now, what is fascinating still is that because the airlines haven't stopped these sorts of layovers, yes, now that the jig is up, so to speak, and everybody now has the knowledge that you can absolutely book flights like this, people can still do it. You know, you and I could do that right now if this is something that, you know, we wanted to do. The only thing is...
No offense, I'm waiting until after you have the baby first.
Yeah, I know, right? The only thing that is the only caveat is that you cannot have baggage checked because your baggage will reach your final destination, and then here you are in Houston, and your baggage is actually in, you know, Phoenix.
The thing that amazes me about this is the airlines are like, if they had some sort of way to clarify this. If they allowed more leeway instead of looking all for the almighty dollar, I think it would be a better deal. You know, have a twofer deal. They used to have twofer deals where you can go to New York to Los Angeles and come back through Miami and spend a day in Miami and then go back to plane to New York.
Well,
they used to have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a little puzzled in that, and because I don't know the airline industry and the pricing schemes well enough, and really nobody does, unless you either work for the airlines or you've been a travel agent, why it's always puzzled me why going to three different cities is less expensive than going to one city. I've never understood that. You know, if you leave one city and you go to another, that's less expensive than going from one city directly to another. And I suppose it's because whenever they're in that airline, whenever they're in that intermediary city, maybe they're picking up passengers. Maybe they're pooling up.
I remember I was in Atlanta. And I went from D.C. to Atlanta. And they had me almost in a prop plane, you know. It had like 20 seats or whatever. And no, it had more than 20. But they had me taking that to a smaller destination. We had a plane with, it had like 16 people were on it. And it was like a full plane otherwise. Well, not full, but it was full seats. And I, you know, 16 people were on it. So you were wasting gas, but the thing is they got me to where I needed to go, but I enjoyed every second. Yeah, I got to stretch out, like, you know, just slept on the whole thing and slept all night. I was just saying it puzzles me why they would even think that, you know. They want to, but they also, a lot of the planes that they have, it's like you're at gate A and they have you at gate F. And you got to find your way.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what puzzled me was that the one time that I've gone overseas, I was in Naples. I was flying from Atlanta to Naples. And we ended up stopping over in London for a couple of hours. Whenever I went to London, the plane was absolutely booked solid full. And whenever I picked up my connection to Naples, the plane was only half full. And so I'm like, okay, well, that seems like a bit of a waste of space.
It's all those people squashing grapes. I don't know.
Well, no, and I mean, I enjoyed it. I was able to stretch out, you know, kind of like what you said, and, you know, I was able to relax and kind of catch a nap because of the jet lag and all that, so that was kind of nice. But, yeah, that's, unfortunately, you know, again, I'm a legal person. I'm not a travel agent. I don't know what the logic is behind the pricing sequence that they practice, but apparently it worked for them, well, up until skid lag came along.
And now it's like, are you think they're going to check or cut deregulation of some of this? You know, you're not going to be able to stop almost, you have to stay on the plane or whatever?
You know, I don't know. And that was something that I thought about is what exactly is going to be the result of this, because if this gentleman is found not to be liable, then what are they going to do? Start policing people coming on and off planes? Or are they just going to cut out the kind of flights that these are in the first place and then just make them all the expensive flights versus the ones that have the layover? You know, but I'll admit that Mr. Zaman faces an uphill fight because to keep his website running, because between affiliate agreements, agency contracts, and terms and conditions, keep people from buying what is called the hidden city tickets. Because the whole point is that whenever you contractually, you know, when you contract with the airline to fly on their airline, because that's what a ticket is. You know, that was something else that I wanted to address on this show for our listeners out there, is that when you buy a ticket, and when you buy a ticket anywhere, whether it be on Amtrak, on Greyhound, or on United, you're creating a contract with that travel provider. And with that travel provider, that happens to be an airline, you agree to fly the entire flight. You agree to fly from Cincinnati to Houston to Phoenix, and if you don't get on the last leg of that plane, you are in violation of the contract. So I have to wonder if the tack that they end up taking is not to take away those multi-city flights, but perhaps to start penalizing people with fees? Because, you know, I don't know if you've ever missed, you know, the second flight of a layover.
Oh, I've missed a few planes in my life.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, then, you know, what happens, you know, they'll allow you to rebook, or they will allow you to use the credit that you bought, you know, on that last leg on a different flight. They may stop doing that now with people doing this. And as a matter of fact, if you do that, they may end up saying, you know, not only are you not going to get credit for this, but you're also going to, we're going to take the credit card that you bought it with and charge you a $100 fee or a $200 fee to make up the difference.
They already do that in some areas, not now, but but some areas. Let me take a break for 30 seconds here and do my quick homework. A little more than 30 seconds. On Wednesday, the 14th, the Huffington Post columnist Rachel Thompson and myself will have blog talk radio host and motivational speaker Tim Knox. So it'll be really, really nice. Somebody once said he's a cross between Jeff Foxworthy and Donald Trump. So I'm fascinated to hear him talk. On a special Anything Goes, we're not going to have it on the 16th. We're going to have it on the 15th at 11 p.m. I have the lovely Candy O'Donnell, who just released the radio, so it'll be lovely. On the 19th, Sarah and I have a special. We're working on it. A legal show planned for all of you. Right, Sarah?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay. And on the 21st, we are still working. Also, Rachel and I are working on the show for the 21st because there are some things that we have to iron out with our guests here. On the 23rd, I will tell you we have two roses and a thorn. We have M. Petrova and Rhonda Lee Carver on Anything Goes at 11 p.m. on the 23rd. And on the 24th, we will have the cast of the new women's show. Yes, that's what I'm producing, and that will be on the 24th, and that's on The World of Inks Any Which Way But Loose. So, and to top it all off, on the 28th, we will have Pamela Slayton. She is the locator. She is the one that they did the special episode of 2020 on, how she finds people, and, you know, people that have vanished from your life and disappeared, brothers, sisters, and everything else. And she's amazing. She really is. And she has a book called Reunited. So I will be, you know, it'll be a lovely, fun couple of weeks, and we got surprises galore up our sleeves. Sorry about that, dear. I needed to do that homework, you know.
Oh, that's quite all right. In the next couple of weeks, we have a show coming up about a subject that's nearest and dearest to all of our hearts. So I'm just going to put that teaser out for our beautiful and wonderful and faithful listeners.
You're mean. You know, I was going to say that, but you're mean. It's all right. You can be mean.
Well, you know, I'm starting to get trained to be a mom, you know, and withholding the things that the kids want. So, you know, for the purposes of teacher discipline. So
you're good, woman. You're good.
I do my best. I do my best. But back to what it was we were talking about earlier, I have a feeling what's going to come of this, especially now that the cat's out of the bag, is that what airlines will start doing is going back after the fact and charging your credit card the difference in the price between the multi-legged flight and what a direct flight would have been, so that they can recoup, or at least, you know, what the price of that ticket for that last leg would have been, because they do have a valid argument whenever they say, well, we lost business because our flights appeared to be full when they really weren't. And
retroactively?
If you agree to it, if it's part of the terms and conditions, which is why I tell people all the time, I know when you open up, you know, a new piece of software, you're ready to play your new game, or you're ready to install your new software or whatever, or even whenever you install a new app on your phone, I know you don't want to sit there and read every single dot and tittle of the legalese, but I really would at least go over the headings of the paragraphs to to make sure that there's nothing in there that you don't want to be bound by, because the second you scroll through and hit, I agree, well, then you agree. So the next time you buy an airline ticket, check out all of the legalese before you actually have to buy it, because I have a feeling that this is the move that the airlines are going to make. I absolutely think this is what they're going to do. In order to
and watch out if you take cruises, because they may have you oaring the boat. They may have you with big oars oaring the boat.
Oh, you want to read some interesting terms and conditions? Yeah, read the terms and conditions in regards to boat travel. Sometimes that will that brings in maritime law and everything else, and international maritime law occasionally, and that can get into some real interesting readings. About how these people
can take you're fading out, dear. I don't know if you could still hear me. You are fading out slightly.
Well, I can absolutely hear you. Is that better?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I am. Yay, technology. But these people were kicked off a boat, basically, for having a child under the age of 6 months, despite the fact they bought their tickets whenever that was still allowable, because the child got sick and they didn't want the liability, and this entire family of like 15 people was kicked off the boat in the middle of the Bahamas. And while the boating, I believe it was Royal Caribbean, or maybe it was Carnival, paid for them to come back to the United States, you know, it cut short their vacation, and this is like a huge group of people. And so the cruise company absolutely reserves the right to do that. So, yeah, be careful on what you agree on, because it may not be something that, or what you agree to, because it may not be something that you want to fall victim to, so to speak, if they decide to enforce it. So, yeah, and of course, it usually only comes out in the news whenever it's actually happened to somebody, not whenever somebody actually reads the terms and conditions.
Well, what scares me is they're charging right now for baggage on the airlines. Soon, I think they're going to charge baggage. Oh, I know that. But soon, I think they're going to charge it on the trains. And next, it'll be on the cruise ships.
Oh, I absolutely think that, because they've now seen that the airlines can get away with it, and so that's another way for them to turn a profit. You know, the airlines originally did it allegedly because they had you know, to pay the extra fuel surcharge once fuel went up so high and all this other stuff. But now that fuel prices have started to drop, I have to wonder if they're going to drop the extra baggage fees now. I've been wondering that for a while myself.
I don't think they will. I think it's we're here to pay. Not here to stay, here to pay.
I agree with you on that, Bennett, most certainly.
But what annoys me more is I think it's going to happen on Amtrak, and then and buses, maybe, you know, Bolt, Megabus, Greyhound, those kind of things, and then also it's going to be, you know, then going to the cruise ships. The cruise ships, I think it'll be a lot less because people aren't bringing as many clothing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I will say this. I have been on Greyhound and Megabus in the last calendar year, about the last calendar year and a half now, and I think they will be the last bastion of cheap travel, because they don't really make their money through what it is they charge. They make it through quantity, and I really do think that is where they're going to end up making their money, is through continuing to offer the cheap fares that they do now.
So let's sum it up. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. No, I was just going to say, I think the buses will remain cheap because that's how they make their money. They make it through quantity, not through, you know, the price of the ticket itself.
So let's, in the next 35 seconds, let's try to sum up where we're going to be here. You think this gentleman's going to win his suit?
I think in some parts he'll be victorious, and I think in some parts he's going to lose, because, to be honest with you, the part that says that, you know, he's helping people violate the terms of the tickets, that's a little tenuous. As far as the part that says that, you know, he is costing the travel agents money, you know, like Orbitz, that's an entire possibility. Because, you know, their agreements are being, their agency and their affiliate agreements are being violated, and he's directly promoting that. So it's entirely possible that he may end up losing on those counts. And I also think he may end up losing on the counts of the flights being full and the airlines not being able to sell.
Okay. I hate to rush you because I love talking to you. Good night, my darling. You take care. I will see you all next week. Good night. Fly right. Good night.
Good evening, everyone.